This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. We are live. I've always wanted to say that. We are actually live. I am the wizard, the whiz kid. Sorry, I should start this properly. Project, welcome back to the after show. So right now, I'm actually streaming live on YouTube. We have decided to kind of make the content more streamlined in a way. Sorry to use stream too much. But basically, what's happening right now is we are doing the usual podcast in the studio, but we are also live streaming to YouTube, which means that you'll be able to watch the whole after show on YouTube, completely uncut, raw, and watch it live if you tune in at the right time. So it's like a triple whammy. It's like the audio recording that most of you are listening to. Now there's the YouTube live stream of the after show, and then there'll be the recording of the after show, which is obviously just a replay of the live stream. So I'm pumped. I'm excited.
And truth is, we never edit anyway. It's not like we missed out on editing stuff.
Well, unless it's like a really laggy stream, like a really laggy audio stream, then we'll have our guy go in and kind of patch things up and fix a few things. But
have we ever done anything in like the 3 years of the after show? We had to go back and be like, that was a bad idea. Shouldn't have said that.
No, I just remember though, because actually, you know, we're coming up on... We passed after show 200. We didn't celebrate the milestone, but I know you made a post about it, but there was definitely moments where we created the after show. It was such a good idea on week one. And then by like week 15, it seemed like a bad idea.
Yeah, we were struggling.
We were running out of stuff to talk about.
Well, there was one week of the after show where you were away and I just read out a page of a book.
I remember.
I was like, sweet, fucking done.
I remember it's like the elephant in the rider.
Well, we had this thing where you were like, oh, I love this book. Let's just like do a, let's talk about
it. I didn't know
page.
Anything about the book.
No, remember we were doing like a page from this, from like a different book every week. Obviously, you run out of pages very quickly. And then Locke was away one week. I'm like, I have to do this.
Wait, we're reading out a page from a book.
Yeah, it was like tips in the book.
What book was it?
I can't even remember. The one with like
a different book.
It was like Elephant in the Rider was one of the things.
Yeah,
that was the name of the
that
episode.
That was the book. That was the book you read from.
I can't remember now.
Anyway.
It had like psychological tips in there. Anyway.
I just remember being in Hong Kong and listening to the episode.
One episode, I literally just read a page from a book and then stopped recording.
It was awful. It was awful. I remember listening to the episode, thinking to myself, I need to get back from Hong Kong.
Thousands of downloads. Someone listened to me, just read a page.
Yeah, it was funny. Fuck, it was funny. So yeah, anyway. And then, do you remember what we did for after show 100? I remember we made that. We made that a particular milestone. We did something. I think we took the first listener questions, I want to say. That was the first time we did listener questions.
We did dial-in listener questions.
Yeah. That was the first time we did them. Because that wasn't really much of a thing back then, doing listener questions. But now it's a pretty integral part of like common talk shows, right?
It's just the best way to think of good ideas to talk about. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I think what I like about listener questions the most is that it keeps our finger on the pulse of what you guys are listening to want to hear about. Because at the end of the day, Raph and I have our fingers in so many different pies. Sometimes we lose a little bit of the pulse of, okay, what are people really interested in at the moment? Is the CrossFit Games still relevant? Because, you know, depending on who I'm speaking to, the CrossFit Games is bigger than ever. You know what I mean? So just in the world of you guys listening, we want to know what the important shit is. We want to help you be able to answer it. Like, we have all this experience. We have, you know, all this wisdom, so many years, now decade under our belt of this whole fitness thing. We want to know what you care about. Like, do you still care about sleep? Maybe you don't. Maybe you only care about supplements, you know, all that sort of stuff. You know, is it worthwhile getting on more CrossFitters? Because we haven't had CrossFit on for a while, really.
Also, I reckon they're the most fun. It's like when you're out and someone joins you, like, dude, what do you think about like this keto thing? Or, you know, some of the most fun conversations.
Yeah. No, so like, because we joined this business club recently, so we joined this business club. Love them. Club United Business. Definitely go check them out if you're in the Sydney area and you're a business owner, or reach out to us. Actually, no, I do know one listener of the podcast contacted me through it and has now joined the club.
Cool.
And anyway, we're at a lunch and we had to go around the table and they said, okay, tell us one thing the club has given you that you didn't have before this. And I said, the one thing that I love so much about this club is that I'm not in my fitness bubble. But I'm still talking to people about fitness. And it's exactly what you said. People are asking me the questions of like the everyday people. Because when we're in the fitness bubble, you know, if I go and do a training session with Sunny Webster or whatever, we're talking about like some pretty random niche topics about, I don't know, maybe Facebook, Instagram ads on fitness and maybe, I don't know, EMOMs and stuff like that. Just random fitness stuff that the general public doesn't care about.
Yeah.
And it's not until you're down in the world, in the rabbit hole, that you start having these conversations. Instead, it's like, which carb should I have? Yeah.
What do you think of intermittent fasting? Those are the questions I love answering because those are the questions that most people care about, right? The fitness bubble is small in a way. You know, the bubble we're in is small.
Yeah, it's astonishing even how bad some of the information can be. And my best example is, I think, Cuba. We're traveling in Cuba.
Okay.
And this was a government order. So, we would be sitting at a restaurant, right? And you know, there's like salt and pepper. And I'd be there and I'd be like, where's the salt? And they're like, oh, we haven't got salt. We just got this. And I put it on my plate, ate it. It was like really sweet. I was like, what is this? They're like, oh, it's sugar.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, so you have swapped out the salt for the sugar. They're like, yeah. I'm like, why would you do that?
Mm. Yeah, why would they?
Government order to improve the health of citizens. Dead set because like heart disease is running rampant, right? Because they're getting more like of this sort of like, you know, American or just fast food into the country. And they thought salt was like a really bad thing for heart disease because obviously in the short term, it can raise your blood pressure.
Yeah.
So, they took salt. It was like a law. Just, you know, it's Cuba, right? Done. No salt is allowed on a restaurant table.
Wow.
So, they all just replaced it with sugar. So, everyone's just like, all these people are getting fat for the first time and now they're putting sugar on top of all their food to replace salt.
I can't believe you told me this. Yeah, that's crazy.
It's really good, right? I mean, my dad was like, oh, it seems like a pretty good idea. What do you think, Raph? Like, salt's bad for you, right? I'm like, no, like salt raises,
sugar's worse.
Salt raises your blood pressure in the short term. But these people are getting fat and getting heart disease.
Pouring
sugar on top of their food is you couldn't think of anything worse.
Yeah, if you had to say what's one ingredient besides narcotics to put on your food, that would be bad. Sugar.
So I mean,
they didn't
order you to put sugar on the table, but they ordered salt off, and every restaurant replaced it with sugar.
And if you started putting sugar on your food, like bloody hell, it tastes pretty good. You know,
you would get addicted to it.
Yeah, you'd do it pretty quick. Yeah, it's like I had Vietnamese street food the other day, and you know, because when you go to like authentic cuisines from around the world, they often put the condiments on the table that are authentic to that style of food. And so like I don't have Vietnamese food all the time, but Vietnamese, they have like this sweet sauce.
Yes.
And it's like this brown sweet sauce. And I put it on yesterday on this like salad that I had, this like pork salad. And I realized because they love those sweet drinks in Vietnam. They love sweet drinks in Asia. It's just it's a carry-on effect from these sauces. I'm sure the sauce is probably kind of go hand in hand with the sweet drink, right?
Yeah.
It's like you're having the sweet drink and you're having the sweet salad. And I just think, obviously, there's not as much of an obesity epidemic in Vietnam at the moment for obvious reasons.
They're getting fatter.
But
they're 100% getting fatter.
But exactly, as you know, as countries become more wealthy, obviously, it correlates with less starvation, more abundance of food, you know, better technology, so they're moving around less, they're sitting at computers more, transportation's better, all this sort of stuff. And then if you've already got a culture that is addicted to sweet sauce on sweet drinks, you're just getting another America. You're just going to copy and paste America or the negative effects of Western culture all throughout Asia, because that's how those countries are getting wealthy, right? Manufacturing moves from China, goes to Vietnam, goes to Taiwan, goes to Indonesia, wherever. And that obviously injects tons of money and work into the country. It's like, because you look at some countries, you go, well, they're healthy. They're all slim. They look after themselves. And I just think, well, maybe it's just a matter of time, you know?
Yeah, very likely. And the one I hate was I saw this one on TV and they were like talking about how gyms don't work. And they were showing how, you know, as the country starts to get fatter, there's more gyms. It's like almost directly up, right? Like people get fatter and fatter and more gyms.
That's
like the stupidest thing I've ever heard. The gyms are there because people are fat. So now they start opening gyms. No one's fat. Yeah, like no one. It's not very popular. But it's not like, I mean, yeah, the gyms don't work for everybody, obviously. But it's not like the gyms are really struggling. It's just that, lots of people are getting fat. So you start opening more gyms to support it.
Yeah. No, I was having this conversation with the team. So we had, for the listeners, a team dinner for the staff on Saturday night. And we're talking about, I was telling them basically how, you know, essentially what we do in the gym and what any coach does is they try and turn negative behaviors into positive behaviors. That's really the gist of it, the crux of it. When you boil it down, someone is doing something that's not serving them health-wise. We need to change that. All right. Obvious one is you get them moving more, get them training. Yeah. Other stuff could be like drinking more water, whatever it might be. But ultimately, it's behavior change. And we have spent, you know, we've talked to the who's who of behavior change, you know, John Berardi, Dan Garner, all these high-level guys. And, you know, becoming a great coach is a lifelong journey because you have to understand psychology. You have to, you know, you just have to go through so many different clients and experiences to have the tools to use at the right time and to build up that, that coach's eye, I guess, that instinct, that conversational mastery. But what I've realized is you can just skip all that shit. We wasted all our time. All you got to do is put a whoop band on them. Oh my God, some of the guys that we have at the gym, it's like they couldn't change their sleep if their life depended on it. Even if I was like, tomorrow you're going to get cancer if you don't sleep more, they wouldn't sleep more. put a Whoop band on it, you put a number next to sleep, you put it on those A-type personalities, you have behavior change overnight. It's actually incredible. Actually, yeah, I mean, it's not even an ad for Whoop.
No, it's like...
It is incredible.
It's like companies, I guess, that give you like bonuses attached to some performance.
Yeah.
You know, how many calls you make.
Yeah.
Everyone the next day is on the phone.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. It's crazy how humans, because we work with numbers so... I mean, how many people don't work with numbers in their everyday? Most people work with numbers in their everyday. I mean, mathematics runs the world. So, if you put a number on something, you know, one of the coaches put it so well, it's like, if you've got 20% recovery and 4 hours sleep and you do nothing and you keep staring at that number, it's not going to change. You're going to have to do something to make that number change if you want it to change positively, right? The only other action is take the Whoop off and give up.
Yeah.
So, I think, yeah, it's just from like a behavioral change perspective, any sort of time you can put a number on something, obviously Whoop being the best way to do it for fitness right now and especially sleep, you're winning. You're absolutely winning. Yeah, it's a shortcut.
It's why, I mean, we'll get into the Apple stuff, but it is also why I have a huge amount of faith that technology will end up being the one that solves most of the health issues.
Like it will probably the climate change issues.
Yeah, you just get better. Like once this Whoop band gets better and it can tell you how much you're eating and give you updates, like genuinely updates. Like the updates, you know, most technology stuff gives you is not very good, right? Like,
yeah.
Or it's just not, it's not there yet in terms of nutrition, right? There's no like app or anything that can tell you exactly what to eat.
Mm.
It's not there yet. It's not as good as a coach.
Right.
Once it gets there, it's surely going to make a difference.
Mm.
I can already see like, you know, just the new technology is making a huge difference in clients. So once you can get everything in one place, it's got to be the answer later on.
Hey, by the way, after last week, I sold you on the David Attenborough documentary. Did you watch it?
I did. I didn't finish it.
Okay. Where'd you get to? How far?
And I actually started reading some of the book as well.
What book?
Same title.
Oh, okay. It's in the book. Oh, he's got a book to follow up the Netflix
stuff. I guess same so. Thing. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of doing both actually at the moment.
How deep into the show did you get? It's about an hour and 45 or
like 29 minutes, I think.
Okay.
It wasn't quite half an
hour. So it's pretty grim at that point?
It's good. I mean, honestly, like it's almost too painful to watch the
rest.
It's
hard. Yeah. It is hard to watch. It's brutal, man. It's scary.
You know what it reminds me of? It's kind of like the rugby on the weekend. It's like, we're going to lose. Do I need to watch the end? That's how I felt about it. I was like, okay, we're fucking up the environment. Do I need to find out?
Nah, you know why? Because it's like any movie, right? It gives you the problem and then at the end, it presents the way out, the solution. So you need
I'm only on problem.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm definitely going to.
And I haven't, I must say, like, I haven't put much effort or thought into it. I guess the way I see it is I'm like, oh, I'm not as bad as, like, the worst people. Because I'm not into, like, I don't know, really bad activities in my day-to-day. Like, I don't drive, like, massive trucks around.
And, yeah. Like, you're pretty, your impact on the environment is pretty low.
Yeah, I feel like, I'm like, oh, you know, my impact is pretty low.
Yeah, you ride a bike, doing the right thing, that sort of stuff, yeah.
I don't really care about it. But I guess I don't put much thought into it beyond that.
Beyond really. Your own stuff. Which, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But yeah, it's hard to know. Okay, you could change all these things. Maybe it wouldn't make that much of a difference right now because of the point in your life where it's like, hey, I'm really kind of doing like the 80-20 right now. And then the rest, you're kind of getting small wins, but ultimately not making as much of a difference as what you're already doing.
No. And if it goes really bad, like, I could have a grandchild. It's like, you stood there and did nothing. I'm like, 100%. I was
nothing. Yeah, grandpa, you did nothing. All you did was lift weights. So speaking of the rugby, I was, so for those of you who aren't really familiar with this overseas, Australia, when we were growing up, when we were kids, it was a golden era of Australia sport. And when I say Australian sport, I mean, on the international stage, Australian sporting teams, the rugby, we had like John Eales, George Gregan.
And we had actual trophies that went in cabinets. Yeah,
we had like Shane Warne on the cricket team, Adam Gilchrist, Ricky Ponting. So we had like
the legends.
We were cricket and we were rugby dominant. And then in the soccer, we still sucked overall, but we were like going through this era where we were just smashing it. Like Harry Kewell, Tim Cahill.
We made the World Cup for the first time.
We made it out of the group stage for the first time ever. Like it was insane. Like Aussies,
it was insane.
You would see green and gold jerseys in the street all the time, right? Mm. I don't think there's a green and gold jersey left in all of Australia after what happened on the weekend. So, tell me if I get this wrong. Australia goes over, ties New Zealand in Mount Eden, or what do they call it? Is it Mount Eden?
Wellington.
Wellington.
And then we went to Eden Park this week.
Oh, Eden Park was this week. Okay, yeah, so they're in Wellington. And then it's funny because, like, you basically in Australia have not seen any advertising for the rugby, right? It's been dead. Not a gold jersey, not a sticker on the wall, not a TV ad to be found. And then next thing you know, I'm walking through the train station and it's like the comeback. It's everything. It's posters everywhere. It's like, here we go. Australia's coming back. And on the weekend, because now I'm in Bondi Junction, there's heaps of pubs there. all I saw was gold jerseys. Mm. Tons of gold jerseys. But gold jerseys from like the 90s, right?
Yes.
No one's bought
No one has bought a jersey in a decade.
I don't even think they... I think they stopped manufacturing gold jerseys. That's how bad it got. And I was like, oh, I feel like this is just going to be worse because they drew... Everyone's got their hopes up for this like new era of rugby. And I'm like, I feel like the All Blacks are just going to come back and just smash them.
That's exactly what they did.
And that's pretty much what happened. Right? I read some title. It's like, can't buy a tackle in the second half or something.
Yeah, we got punished. They had some of those guys that come out of there so young. I find it unbelievable how muscular and powerful these guys get.
Are you talking about the All Blacks?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There's new guys like, I don't know, 21.
Right.
They probably says every 6 months, but the next gen alignment. And he's just like, you know, 115 kilos, like runs 10.5, and it's like no one can touch him. And they just come out of the woodwork.
So they're definitely they're just freaked out.
Never touched a gym in his life. but yeah, that is, I mean, I was thinking about it. That's the type of sport that I think it is the best. Like anytime you can attach some sort of like national pride to a sport, I think it goes to the next level.
Next level.
So it's even like, say, with the UFC, even though it's like an individual sport, you don't really represent your country.
Yeah.
I feel like it's better when it's Conor McGregor because you're like, oh, it's like he's representing Ireland.
Ireland, yeah, yeah.
And it's does it for the level. Irish people. Yes, he does. He's like, I'm doing this for the people.
Ireland, baby.
And it goes to the next level. Whereas when you have like maybe two Americans, it's not as good.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally. I mean, and then obviously we shine in the Olympics.
Yes.
Like we have some.
Occasionally.
We win gold in the Olympics. Yeah. Not all countries win gold.
And I think for the size of the country. I think we're on the drug-free side of things as well.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, probably not.
We win some clean medals.
But you know, if you think about swimming, that's like a real point of pride for us.
Yeah.
Every 4 years, the track we get some wins every now and then, and we'll win some patchy medals in random sports here and there, like BMX or some shit like that, surfing. But now that got cancelled this year, basically Australian sport is flopping.
Well,
so
well to give you an idea, like in the Sydney Olympics, I think we won 14 gold.
How many of those are Thorpes?
No, well, 13 involve water.
Oh wow! Out of the 14.
Yeah. We won an archery.
What about...
I had no water.
What we won some golds. Yeah, we won some golds in outside the water.
Oh, no, sorry. Sorry, the one we... with the gold that... No, it wasn't archery. There was Kathy Freeman.
Oh, yeah.
Got a gold that had no
Didn't
water.
Didn't that Sally Pierce or whatever? The,
she got silver.
The sprinter? Oh, she got silver. Yeah, she got silver. Oh, okay.
Different Olympics as well. Yeah, but yeah, we're a water country.
Yeah. But anyway, we've had something to look forward to. Every sort of 5 years, we've had some sort of Australian... Mm. We are in the low of the low of Australian sporting pride. Our top athletes are like Nick Kyrgios, you know? Mm. Every January, we support him for 2 weeks in the Australian Open and then it's all over.
I mean, we have one Australian in the NBA.
Yeah. No, we have a few. Okay. No, there's a few.
One good one, though.
There's a few. Ah, yeah, he's got injured this year, but... Yeah, no, but anyway, the point is, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
And then what I found was funny, we brought this up at the gym today and then someone piped up, it was a good point. They're like, yeah, but we're really good at CrossFit. We have the female champion in CrossFit.
We do.
Which is like surprising.
But
it's not
a team. It's not a team.
No, definitely not a team.
The team, what I think is good about a team sport is that because there are so many individual characters within a team, everyone can jump on board. Because like say, okay, so let's take Nick Kyrgios for example.
In January, people don't even like him.
Exactly, yeah. Right? If Nick Kyrgios is a team of, if tennis is a team of 11 people, it's like, oh, I don't really like the captain. But I love the defensive lineman and I love the winger. There's someone for every, there's a personality for everyone. You know what I mean? Like back when I used to watch the EPL all the time, it's like there was maybe four or five of us that supported Chelsea, but our favorite players were all different players in the team. Yeah. Someone like Drogba, someone like John Terry, someone like Frank Lampard, whatever it might be. That's what I think a team offers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why so many more people can get involved.
I think the next level is like, I'm like, oh my, I talked to my granddad and he's like, yeah, I remember supporting that team as well.
Yes.
It's like we were supporting the same player.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's just a different level.
Like, when you're talking about like an individual player, he's like, I never heard of that guy.
Yeah.
But the team, like, yeah, I've been supporting that team since I was 10, like 90 years ago.
Mm. So, prediction, what do you think is going to come next for Australia? Where do you think our next sporting pride, national pride is going to, what sport will it find itself in?
Sporting hero. We don't
it's
have...
It's easier to say what it's not going to be, but what do you think it is going to be? I mean, what are the sports we're choosing from? Soccer, basketball, rugby, cricket?
Yeah, to what I think it's going to be, because I think this is on the rise. I think that women's sport is like crazy on the up.
Okay.
You can tell right now, like you go on YouTube, I watch like highlights of rugby and there's women in the videos now.
Yeah.
Just general videos.
Didn't the women's basketball team do really well?
Yeah, and I that's exactly what I was going to say. I think it was netball. We had like a really good women's netball. And I think just because Aussie women are like big on sports, I know American are as well, but compared to a lot of other countries, you know, it's like we can beat them in like soccer and stuff from Brazil. Like, they obviously, I don't think women in a lot of those countries are like as big on sports as we are. So I think female sports is where it'll,
where we'll start to dominate.
Where it'll come from.
You know, that'll be really good for like the generation of young girls to like really start dominating that. But what about the men?
I think we're gone forever. I really think we're like gone. I think we're just like, it's caught up.
We're too far behind.
We don't have the population
size.
We're
too far behind. We had like this small window of genetic freaks while everyone was a little bit behind, and that's it. We're gone.
Yeah, we're gone.
Man, I think the only, I think the, because I think basketball is the fastest growing sport in Australia.
Wow.
So that's going to be my prediction.
Well, this is the reason I think we struggle now is because we're getting more into sports we're never going to compete at.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Which is a struggle. That's like fair. Soccer is huge in Australia, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah, never.
I think it's the
number
one
played
sport by young people in Australia, and it's a sport we have no chance.
No chance.
Basketball's like the number one sport in the rise. We've got no chance.
No chance.
Like what you need is you just need Aussies, if you want to actually win something, playing rugby and cricket.
Yeah.
If every single person played that, we'd be all right.
Yeah.
But when we start taking on the big sports, we're in trouble.
Soccer's no chance. This is how no chance we are in soccer, right? So I was talking to a few different people about soccer, and somehow they're involved in something. Anyway, I was speaking to a guy his mate, his son, went to England for when he was 15 for 2 years. Mm. So he was like in one of the top guys in Australia for his age when he was like 14. He signed to like the Manchester City development squad, which is like a huge deal, right? And he went over there and he was there for 2 years. He was supposed to be there till he was 20. So 5 years, right? Came back after two. Why'd he come back? Yes.
Dropped?
Too hard.
Wow. Too intense.
He's like, he went there and he was like, and there's kids from all over the world that go there, right? Australia, Brazil, Germany, whatever. Like this is Manchester City youth development squad. It was so difficult, so demanding, so intense that really only the cultures that came from that level of intensity with football were able to handle it. But because we're so like, hey, you know, we're trying hard in Australia, but it's nothing like the culture that's set over there. Like over there, it's on another level. Like you grow up, you're trying to be a footballer in England. It's the most competitive sport out there. And it's the banter is out of control. Like the shit they put on you, the dirty tackles, like nothing seems fair over there. He just couldn't hack it. He just said it was too difficult, too intense. The training was too hard. He's getting picked on too much. Just the culture around it was too harsh. Like to survive over there, like you have to be cream of the crop. So unfortunately, I just don't see many Aussies getting tough enough to survive over there. It's too brutal.
It's too competitive.
It's too brutal. Yeah. So anyway, we'll see what happens in the future. So your bets on cricket or rugby?
And my bet is on female sports people.
Oh, that's true. And my bet in the male arena is on basketball. To be actually competitive. Maybe make some semifinals. Because we made the semifinals.
Wow.
Yeah, we made the semifinals in the basketball World
Cup. Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah. We lost to Spain by like 2 points or something. So we're pretty good.
Hopefully when the NBA finally goes international and they start opening up other countries.
You know why I think basketball is a better chance? Because you just don't need as many players. You know what I mean?
But don't you need black people?
We have black people.
Enough?
Imports.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Just import them. Okay, so what do we have next?
Well, one I want to talk about was, I assume a lot of people have seen this, is Apple is launching, coming into fitness. So if anyone hasn't seen it, it's their first real Apple product into fitness. Obviously, they have the Apple Watch, which has like a little bit of fitnessy stuff, but they're basically launching like full online programs. So if you look at it on the website, I think it's $15 a month and it's classes for everything, strength training, conditioning, it's like there's a rowing, I don't know why they chose rowing, rowing programs, cycle classes, obviously yoga, high intensity,
Pilates,
which looked truly rubbish, like Pilates, maybe one or two other things I'm forgetting, but basically full online programming.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the caveat is they're trying to sell more Apple Watches, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
I think you only get it if you get the Apple Watch.
But you need an iPhone as well.
Yeah, of course.
I think.
Can you have an Apple Watch without an iPhone?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, I don't know actually. That's a good question. I think so. Yeah. I think it's just worse though.
But they're coming in. I mean, this is the biggest player ever to enter like the fitness regime.
Yeah. Well, if you think about the top fitness app in the world right now, I think it is, I think it might be Senna, Chris Hemsworth's app.
I thought it was Kayla's app.
Or maybe it's Kayla's app. It's one of those. Yeah. And I guess Hemsworth is the biggest name. But if you think about the amount of money behind him, it's nothing compared to Apple.
I mean, Apple is, I think, commonly the most valuable company in the world.
Yeah, it competes with Amazon.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they haven't got the richest person in the world, but very often, depending on where their stock price is, it can be the...
Yeah, Amazon and Apple interchangeably move between one and two.
It can be the biggest company
in the essentially,
world.
They have infinite funds.
Yeah, and they're bringing out a fitness app.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, the quality does seem really high. looking at, like, I think one of the best ways to tell if a program is legit is just watch the exercise demonstrations.
Mm.
And the ones I could see, like, the form was pretty decent, actually, on the strength training. But looking at, like, the high intensity one, I was like, ah, oh, like, this is pretty rubbish.
What if, okay, what if Apple came to you, sent you an email and said, hey, we want to make you like an Apple gym? What would you say?
What do you mean?
Like it's like, so Apple's got an Apple store, yeah, right? Oh, and now they want to have an Apple gym. So what it is, it's like you come in and it's like you all wear Apple watches. Mm. You wear like Apple heart strap and like you follow a workout on the screen and it's like the Apple workout of the day. So it'd be like digital. Like you would get coaching. Say they put a projector on the wall and the coach is there and it's like, all right, guys, welcome to your session. It was like, we're training in France today and Sydney and this and that. We're all in our Apple gyms. And then you like got your equipment and you still work out. That'd be kind of cool.
Probably pretty sick.
Yeah, be pretty cool. Yeah. You know what? I wonder all the trainers in the fitness app, I wonder how they were incentivized to join an app. Like, I wonder how they found these fitness trainers because...
Well, I was looking at that. It doesn't seem like they've... Like, I couldn't see anything like, hey, this is the trainer we've got.
Are they big names? That's what
no,
I was thinking.
No, I know. I couldn't find any names in the fitness. It wasn't like, oh, like The Rock is programming, like the strength program. Arnie's programming the aesthetics program.
Yeah, it's no one. Nobody's.
Just seem like good-looking models.
That's interesting because I did see the screen at the end where they were displaying the names, the full names of the trainers and had them all stacked up. And I was thinking, okay, so they're promoting their trainers here, but none of these guys I've heard of any of them.
No.
Maybe that's what they're trying to do. Maybe they're trying to build like, you know, the Avengers themselves. Of like Apple, you know, maybe, because think about how many people are going to see this stuff, right? If someone came along to you and you're a small PT, you know, in New York and they're like, hey, I want to give you an opportunity to be in a trainer on the Apple app and you're going to run the strength sessions. If you smash it on the strength sessions,
you're world famous
instantly.
You could have more people doing your program than anybody else.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking. So so it made me think, what deal are they getting? Because they could basically say, hey, we're gonna make you famous. That's basically what they're saying. We're gonna put you on like one of the biggest fitness apps in the world. We're gonna put millions of dollars behind your program.
Like these guys are well known, but like you can't say they're the top strength experts in the world.
No. But if you did someone
like this guy, Apple Plus trainer.
Yeah, 5,000 followers.
He seems like a pretty decent trainer. I was looking at his lifting. He looks like a normal dude.
Yeah, but so now, right, I wonder... So, it'd be interesting. So, screenshot that. And it'd be interesting once they launch, how many followers is he going to get? That'll be interesting. Because will these guys become super famous is what I'm wondering. Because that would be part of the influencer marketing campaign, right? That's what I thought Apple would launch with. They would be like, all right, do Running with Kevin Hart.
But they almost don't need the reach. Like, you know, they've got it.
I think it would still help.
Yeah, it would still help. It would definitely still help. But they send it to everyone that's got the Apple products.
Yeah, but like, let's see now who becomes the first celebrity endorsement, or will they just build their own team of like the Apple Avengers? You know what I mean?
It does seem like the way fitness is going is kind of like what happened with like Xbox and PlayStation.
Mm.
Everybody used to just, you know, it was always like play in your home,
right?
And then it went from play in your home to like go to a like a Counter-Strike thing. What are they called? Like a gaming center, right?
And you go like a time zone.
Yeah, you go and you game against other people. Yeah. Right? You do Counter-Strike against
Cafes.
Yeah, internet cafes.
Yeah.
And then the internet cafes kind of became obsolete because everyone just played with everybody around the world from home.
Yeah.
Seems like fitness is basically doing the same thing. People were doing their own thing with fitness and then it's like, okay, now there's like CrossFit gyms and like these small communities everywhere where everyone goes and does fitness together and like competes against each other. And now it's like, dude, any workout you're doing, you may as well just compete against the whole world because all workouts are online.
Yeah.
True. It's like you go running, you know, it's on your Garmin, you're competing against everyone on the Garmin. Like you hit, I don't know, any cycle or rowing workout, you may as well just follow the Apple workout and compare against thousands of people around the world.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. We'll see what happens. So, speaking of competing, I finally got... So, if you ever come to Sydney, you know, obviously a lot of people listening to this from Sydney, everyone's familiar with Centennial Park. It's the biggest park in Sydney, right? It's got a very famous loop around the park. And I ran the loop for the first time for basically close to as fast as I could. Started out pretty slow because I wasn't really sure how to pace it. But then sort of built up as I kind of figured I was towards the end. And there's definitely something to be said for, well, firstly, I managed to uninjure myself. I did a lot of the knees over toes program I talked about last week and got myself healthy. But I don't think I've continuously run like that in a very long time because all the running I've done for the past 5-6 years has been like intervals, 400s, 500s, 600s, 800s. I haven't been to a track that much, but I've been to a loop around an oval. But this loop is like a 4-kilometer loop. And every other time I've run, it's got like traffic lights in there. You know, you've got to cross roads, footpaths. It's just like nonstop. And yeah, I mean, close to almost never have I done this. And it's seriously like pretty much since I've been starting at the gym, it's seriously different. Mm. Like it's long. Like you're in your head a lot. I can see why people put headphones on to distract themselves because you're just like, when is this going to end?
Yeah.
You know, you're just out there grinding. But there's definitely an out like that moment where you're kind of like, everything seems really hard. Mm. And then there's this moment where it's almost just like everything switches off and it's just smooth sailing. It's just silence. You're like breathing. You're not really having to think about your run. And then you're just kind of in that cruising mode. That's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's got to be like one of the most enjoyable things you can go do. Yeah. Obviously, the popularity makes it clear why.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we'll see what happens. But what do you think of these? I got the, I don't know if people can see these on the video that are watching the video, but I got the RecGen's limited edition Type 2 short with the white stripe down. It's got kind of the, it's got an interesting waistband. I like it, but it does look like underwear. But
oh, and the holes are see-through.
Are they?
On the side of the shorts. Look on your left side.
Oh, yeah. A little bit. Oh, yeah. I see what you mean.
No, 100, no, no, 100%.
What do you mean? Oh, those. Oh, shit. Is that supposed to be like that?
Yeah, dude. You can see your leg through the holes.
Oh, that's sick.
Like the holes. It's yeah, like yeah. A three. Basically, their logo is like three holes.
Yeah, three dots.
But normally, the dots are obviously like dots.
Yeah, that is sick.
And now they're holes.
So limited edition. I don't know if you can pick up the limited edition, but I definitely would. These are dope. RecGen's coming out with some cool stuff, man. Really cool stuff. They're crushing it. Okay.
They've taken over our gym.
Let's everyone in our gym wears RecGen. I even see like people I don't know wearing RecGen now. That's how I know. That's how I know it's getting big. All right, so quickly before we jump into these listener questions. Been obviously spending a little bit more time in front of screens recently. But one thing I do to protect my eyes is obviously the daytime blue light blockers. But I have been getting a lot of interest from the people at that business club for nighttime blue light blocking glasses. Anyway, so I sent off the link to a few people. They got them, sent me some photos of them in bed wearing them. And it is so... And they're wearing wood bands. It is dramatic how much blue light blocking glasses help. There's a few little things they tried before that, you know, zinc magnesium, dark room, keeping the cooler, got a fan on all night, keep the window open, that sort of thing. But it's when they block blue light from like 7, 8 p.m. and they're going to bed at 10. Yeah, they're just like, it's just so different. Your melatonin, your timing, your circadian rhythm, it all lines up perfectly.
Yeah, it's you know, it's much more effective because recently we had to do like blocking out our whole room, full blackout for Ziggy to sleep, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we got this thing. It was actually pretty good. So you can get like, you stick it on the wall. It's like, I don't know, it's like $20 a square meter or something. Cut it off, stick it on the wall, and it just blocks all the light, right? So it's 100% dark in the room, which a lot of people talk about. That is not nearly as effective as wearing orange blue light blocking glasses before to go to bed.
Yeah.
You just wear like an eye mask.
Yeah.
You get a pretty similar effect. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't make, honestly, that much difference, and it's heaps of effort.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, I guess, if you want to sleep in the day.
Yeah.
But it didn't make that much difference. But the blue light blocking glasses, particularly if you're like on your phone at night, or on the computer, it's nuts how much difference it makes. You can be on your phone or watching a screen and close your eyes while you're watching it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is a whole new experience.
Yeah. So anyway, if you guys want to pick up a pair, it's Blue Blocks. That's BLUBLOX.com. The code when you check out is MMP. That's going to get you 15% off any pair. So again, BlueBlocks.com and the code is three letters MMP when you check out.
Okay, we've got some good questions, quite a few this week. Thank you to everyone that asked. Ashlyn Babiak, is incorporating a wide spread of training limiting my growth potential? I've seen results by implementing traditional strength training with HIIT training and cardiovascular exercise. But I'm wondering if it is a more beneficial to just focus on one to see types of results. That is bulking versus cutting.
Right. Oh, okay. So
I think he's doing like all different types of training and he's like, you know, he's like growing muscle.
Right.
And he's
so
like,
when he talks about growth, he means like muscle growth.
Yeah. Okay. But he's doing like, yeah, regular strength training, high intensity training, and like cardio.
And he's wondering if they're interfering with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like trying to do all this different stuff, like messing it up too much.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Look, I think it's a really good question. It's something that I think is a pretty much a, the debate's not settled on it yet. That's for sure. Mm. They haven't put this to bed yet. But I think the general consensus is at the moment, I actually put this out on my story a while ago. I think it was right when we were promoting Project Body in the early days. So maybe like 8 weeks ago. And we were talking about, I think I put up a post. I said, can you build muscle while doing regular cardio? You can build muscle while doing regular cardio. Agree or disagree? And maybe like 20 people jumped on and answered it. And pretty much everyone agreed. And there were like some really good strength coaches on there, all that sort of stuff. And they said, yeah, it's just really how you program it and how you dose it correctly. So,
and obviously getting your nutrition in order.
Exactly, exactly. You know, Brett Contreras actually did a really good post on this. He goes, weight training is for weight loss. And that was like kind of the title of it. And basically what he was saying, he's like, look, when you do weights, it doesn't put on weight. When you do weights, you are burning calories. You are breaking down the body. If you didn't eat enough food and you train weights, you would lose weight.
Yeah.
What the difference of what puts on muscle or not is your nutrition.
If you changed nothing and you added in weights for somebody,
yeah,
and you kept all their activity and they're eating the same. If they're a huge newbie, they might gain some weight, but probably they're going to lose weight.
Yeah, because you're burning up calories. You probably maintain some muscle mass, probably put on some new muscle mass, but you definitely burn up some...
Yeah, you'd probably go down on the scale.
Yeah, definitely burn up some body fat. Like we see it all the time, right? People that lift a lot of weights and kind of eat at their maintenance still and they lose weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... In terms of muscular growth, it's about calories. No matter what you're doing, you could do a ton of cardio, you could do a ton of weight training all together. If you're still eating in a surplus, I mean, the signal is dampened because you're sending a cardiovascular response. Mm. So your body's allocating resources to improve your cardiovascular system and it's allocating resources to grow muscle. You're going to split it, but ultimately it does come down to your calories. As long as you're eating enough, I mean, take a guy like Ross Edgley, for example, right? I mean, I'm going to make the assumption here it's clean, but let's say Ross Edgley, he's doing a ton of cardio, doesn't lose that much muscle.
No, well, the best example is also like Ross Edgley doing his swim around Great Britain. Anyone that followed it was like, he was getting fat during it.
Yeah, he put on weight.
Fatter and fatter and fatter the longer this fucking thing went. And he's exercising, I would assume, more than anybody on the planet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
because he was eating so much. I think also probably getting more efficient potentially in the water. But he was just eating all day, every day. Like, I don't know how many. He's probably up near 10,000 calories a day.
Exactly.
And yeah, he was gaining weight.
No exercise program is necessarily... It's only just a signal to your body. What you do with your nutrition and your sleep and your recovery after determines which path your body takes.
But what I guess we would add is just, if you're thinking about... You might have been thinking about strength training as well. If you add in cardio and the HIIT stuff, you definitely still can get stronger. But I always think it's just going to be slower.
Yeah.
It's going to be slower than if you were just sending one signal to your body and getting the maximum recovery you could.
I would also argue, though, slower is better.
Yeah, exactly.
I think slower is better.
Who cares?
Wouldn't you rather slowly gain muscle while staying lean and getting better performance and fitter? Yeah. Even if it takes you 3-4 times as long? I definitely would. Rather than put on all this weight, be really big, but then now be like really slow.
And like have to burn off all the fat. You get your squat up 6 kilos in a year instead of 10, but heaps of other stuff came up with it.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, next one, Guru of Gains, good question. I've seen and heard about people randomly rupturing their Achilles. So have we. How do you bulletproof your Achilles against injury?
Yeah, that's a good one. So I was talking about the Achilles with a friend on Sunday morning at breakfast.
And it's rife from CrossFit.
Right.
100%.
Rife. And they've had so many friends recently. We've had one friend, sorry, did it.
It's probably the scariest injury.
It is.
Because it sounds like a gunshot.
Yeah.
It does seem to be pretty random. No calf pain going into it.
Yeah.
Gone, blown, and the recovery is incredibly slow.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few things that I think cause the Achilles rupture based off some of the stuff I've been hearing about and reading. And that would lead me to think, based off what the cause of it happening is, would determine what kind of training would help to offset it. So, I'm kind of working backwards here. So, definitely what it sounds like is the cause of a lot of it is, one, firstly... whatever activity you're doing that caused the rupture, you haven't done that activity in a long time. So if usually it's like sprinting or like wrestling or pushing, like something where you're in a lot of deep dorsiflexion and you're creating a lot of force. If you've just been walking around, lifting weights, squatting, that sort of thing, you haven't done something like that in a while. Something really dynamic. That's the first thing. The second thing is I think you've been doing a lot of strength training, without a lot of complementary sort of dynamic work and, so tendon conditioning and more sport based movements.
Because you're getting heavier and heavier and you're getting stronger and stronger quads.
Yeah.
Potentially calves and hamstrings. So you're putting more and more force through it.
Through the tendon.
But you haven't been developing the tendon.
At the same time. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then the third thing is steroids. That happens a lot. A lot of guys that tear tendons and muscles off the bone is because they take too many steroids. And I know people that have ruptured their Achilles took steroids for a long time.
But that would mostly just be exacerbating the thing we just said.
Exactly.
Was it getting even stronger, even quicker?
Exactly, yeah. Except that most people that do the second thing, you know, takes him a long time.
Yeah.
And whereas the and third one,
the tendons during that period.
Yeah. The second one is like, okay, so yeah, your strength training, your power's going up. You're not really doing that. That's kind of like a long period of time that takes. Whereas the third one, the steroids, is like, that can happen in 12 weeks. All of a sudden, you've added 40 kilos to your squat, and then you go out and you try and sprint, and your muscles are like super jacked, right? Super high power output. Way, way, way stronger than your tendons. At least over the slow period of strength training, it's taken a while. Like, they're not, the distance is not too far between them. But yeah, if you've taken a lot of steroids in a short period of time, you're super strong and you sprint or whatever, you're tight.
Yeah.
Your body hasn't gotten used to that much power output. Your tendons are nowhere near as conditioned as your muscles all of a sudden, and then gone. Yeah. So,
but in terms of, like, I guess improving that, obviously these are like the mistakes you can make, which are going to increase your chances. I would probably just add to that, I mean, times have changed a bit, but in the early days of CrossFit, like workouts that had tons of rebounding box jumps, it used to be the big culprit. And I think also imbalance training going into that was a culprit. No one was doing much isolation work or anything. But yeah, I think that good quality strength training for the lower limb is going to go a long way here. So obviously, like,
well balanced.
Shin work, that's like tibialis anterior work. So pulling your toes towards your knees. No one really does that. It's really, really important. And then just training the calf and soleus muscle through its full ranges of motion.
Yeah.
So, you know, doing like in Project Strong right now, like I've got calf raises with like pauses at the bottom and pauses at the top. And, you know, like it's like a deep stretch at the bottom and a fierce contraction at the top. When you're just squatting and lunging, you don't go to that end range of motion and you don't develop anything there. And then obviously like dynamic work, like still doing hops, jumps, stuff like that, and like good quality. We used to do like when we did like a foot strong program, a lot of like ankle cars, so like maintaining the range of motion through your ankle. All of that is a well-rounded program.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, if you just like leg extension and deadlift,
it's not much happening. Nah. And you go and try and sprint maximally, like you're 17, it's not going to happen. The other thing I would say to incorporate in your training is what you sort of mentioned is the gastroc, one aspect of the calf, and the soleus, different aspect of the calf. Yet you train them differently at different knee angles. So like with straight locked out legs, you're training gastrocs, but then with like a bent knee position, you're training soleus. So you need to train both because depending on what position you get in, like say for example, I know someone who snapped their Achilles doing wrestling. They were in they were in a deep squat position. They were trying to push someone off them as hard as they could. They were in like a deep flexed position.
Yeah.
Whereas like a lot of people that snap their Achilles, they're running. Yes. So their leg is fully extended.
Or even like decelerating, running backwards.
Yeah. So you got to train it kind of, you got to train the calf in a lot of different positions as well. So that's something to keep in mind. And I think that when you're easing back into, you're like, okay, well, I want to incorporate some dynamic work to, you know, offset a lot of this stuff. Because if you haven't run for a while, go for a run, easy run, come back next day, tell me how sore your calves are. They're pretty damn sore. So imagine playing like sport all out, you know. So building it up slowly. Like, you know, I took a week and a half off running because I hurt my knees because I was doing too much running. And yesterday I did 4Ks. That was it.
You know, simple, easy. That's why the best one to mention there at the end is just fatigue. Because I remember we had a friend, Starry, who did his calf recently. He did his Achilles, blew it out, straight away playing touch. First game of touch. So his first mistake, he's jacked. He's gone and played like a sport for the first time.
Well, he did a whole powerlifting cycle before.
He was crazy strong going into it. But if you like look a little bit further into it as well, he hadn't done much conditioning training at all. And then like the 2 days before, he jumped in on like a CrossFit camp.
Yeah.
So he was doing like, you know, seven double days. So he was going into it, just heaps fatigued. You know, there's a whole huge increase of volume into something dynamic like that. And that's very common. You know, it used to be like third day of regionals box jumps, blow the Achilles, right? So like just overall volume and fatigue is what you want to avoid.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, next question. DM Strawn, what are some ways to shift focus from aesthetics to performance, skills or health? So I guess aesthetics to one of those three. I really feel that improving my physique has been a worthwhile learning experience, but I don't want it to become an unhealthy obsession.
Mm. Well, the most obvious one is you train in a gym without mirrors. Mm. That is the honest truth.
That's good.
The truth is train without mirrors and post less of yourself on Instagram. Or if you post, you know, all the stuff that I like to post on Instagram, I share some of the thoughts in my head, but I mean, a lot of it, guys, is just part of the brand. You know, this is what we do. It's be careful not to drink your own Kool-Aid. I think a lot of this stuff is like, you make improvements physically and stuff, but don't become a hero in your own lunchbox. You know what I mean? Or legend in your own lunchbox. So just, I think with all this sort of stuff is, it's trying not to take yourself too seriously sometimes. Mm. Make fun of yourself. And that should kind of shift the focus away. That's obviously if you can't take a mirror out of the gym or you like continuing posting on Instagram, don't take yourself too seriously. Look, we've met tons of people in this industry that definitely way too into themselves, and it's not good. They're not a fun person to be around. But I'd say for the for the person that is trying to shift the focus from aesthetics, I mean, it's common, right? A lot of people.
It's a good move. Well, I mean, nearly everyone starts off on aesthetics. Everyone. And like, fair enough. Yeah. You're born looking fucking weak.
Yeah.
Unless you're like, unless you got like black genetics, a bitch. Or Islander genetics. Yeah, yeah. Unless you're like the 1%, you're generally born a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. I was born a bitch. And you have to make yourself into a man. No, yeah, performance is just like, your goals just change. It's really as simple as that, right? It's rather than, okay, look a certain way, which is always tough. It's like, okay, right, you squat, deadlift, bench, I don't know, 5 mile time, whatever metrics you want to work on, and then they just become your goals. Yeah. And that's it. And you just focus on them. And really, that's as simple as it needs to be. And you'll notice a dramatic shift in your energy and your focus.
Yeah, I think even just potentially signing up for a competition can work well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, back when we had the CrossFit gyms, like people would come in, obviously just like obsessed with it. And then they would like, you know, they would sign up for the CrossFit Open.
Yep.
Honestly, it would just go out the window, the aesthetics. Like,
yeah.
Just gone in a day. Next day, they're in there like doing push press. Like, you know, it just was over, right? They started focusing on like this deadline they had in this competition. And
healing all the injuries that they've all got all of a sudden.
and it was out of there, you know. So that can be a good way as well. Okay. Last question. Chris Coey, personal training. I've seen you guys talk a lot about the health industry. Do you know any very good naturopaths for gut issues?
We don't really work with any gut expert in particular. Not a local one, at least. No. I don't. Do you?
I do have a really good naturopath. I think she's like the best one I've heard of. But a lot of our clients go to all different ones.
Yeah.
So they are definitely out there. To be honest, I have no idea where you are. But if you are in Sydney, I can DM you one that I think is really good and has worked with a bunch of clients. And, you know, she's like very successful. So it's not the cheapest naturopath either.
Successful, like... She's worked with some like
higher end clientele. You know, she's not the cheapest, but she's got like the long history to prove her success.
Yeah,
and she's got access to like a lot of tests. I think that like lower down naturopaths don't always have access to
the plebs.
Yeah. I would start with the warning. I think the warning on naturopaths is that I think there are a lot of really bad ones out there, and what you often find with them is that they just make all their money selling you the supplements in the naturopath store.
Yeah.
So the appointment often is like pretty reasonably priced. You're like, oh, cool, like it's a good price naturopath appointment. They're like, yeah, you know, when you check this out, you're going to need, you know, magnesium and you're going to need this supplement. Like, you probably do need them, potentially. Like, it could be right. You're going to need their fish oil. And then they're just like, oh, do you want to buy them now?
Mm.
Right? And you have to be aware. Like, they make a really good margin on those supplements in the store. They're always slightly more expensive than the ones you would find elsewhere.
Crooks.
And like, yeah. And you know, once you've signed up to the point, it's kind of awkward to not buy it from them.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, I'll go find it cheaper. They're like, oh, like, so I would just be aware that is how a lot of them make their money.
It's like coming in for a fitness consult. It's like, yeah, no, you know, we're going to lose weight. And like, I think you really need to focus on your mobility. And like, yeah, this knee flexion angle, and you'd probably stop this for your lower back and do this exercise instead. They're like, yeah, awesome, cool. So I'm just going to take all that advice and just do it on my own.
Exactly. Yeah. It's awkward, right? Like, it's awkward. Okay. So a lot of them do operate like that. So I'd be careful. I also think sometimes they over prescribe supplements because that's how they make their money. So all their incentives are like, get you on more subs. Whereas like a fitness coach is often doesn't recommend many subs at all. Like how many, you know, we don't often recommend that many. We're like, start with this one and maybe this other one.
Yeah.
Because like we don't make money selling supplements to the clients, whereas a naturopath can make all their money that way. So I would have that warning. But having said that, there are really good ones out there.
So what did you guys see your naturopath for? Anything for you?
Yeah, no. I've had people, lots of people go for different stuff. I went once because I was getting like all the...
Dandruff, flaky scalp, and it was
killing me. I didn't solve it 100%, but one she did was like an omega-3 test on me, like my, you know, the ratio of omega-3s to omega-6s, and it was pretty good because I live a reasonably healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you want it like 2-to-1.
Okay.
1-to-1 is like crazy good, but like 2-to-1 is like really good.
Okay.
Like omega-3s to omega-6s. And
what do most people have?
Sorry, omega-6 to omega-3.
Yeah, yeah.
Most like the standard American's like 20-to-1.
20 omega 6 to omega 3. Fuck, like, that's
disgusting,
ridiculous.
Right? Yeah. Well, they know omega 3s. So much omega 6.
Yeah.
I think they would
like
say
vegetable
like
and corn oil and stuff like
that. Yeah, I think they'd say like the, like indigenous population in Australia was like 1-to-1, you know, before white people came and ruined everything.
Right.
And mine was like, I think it was like 3 or 4-to-1. So I was kind of getting into like the orange zone. And I supplemented with omega 3s, and I probably just cleaned it up a little bit, made sure I had salmon every single week, not just occasionally.
How many omega 6s does Quest Bars have?
Not many, man. It's low in fat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not too many, actually. It's pretty good.
I was like, thank God. Thank God.
I would have been off the charts. It's more the sugar alcohols there that kill me. And that seemed to help. That seemed to help a bit.
Okay.
So, yeah, it really depends on what you go for.
Yeah, you got less flakes coming at you.
A little bit.
There was one point where
it's not all gone.
But it's snowing.
Yeah.
Um, No, I've never seen a naturopath. Fortunately, I've never had a gut issue. I had some like really bad stomach aches when I was a kid. It turned out I was just eating too much sugar, so I just cut back on the sugar and it was a lot better. But I do think there is some element of like we try and overcomplicate problems that are quite simple.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like, hey, there could just be like a couple of really inflammatory foods in your diet, and if you just take them out, you just feel a ton better. And that's kind of what I do sometimes. If I'm having some issues, I think part of it comes with like a lot of awareness. Obviously, if you're at the point looking for a naturopath, you have good awareness.
Mm.
But if you can hone into it more and you can do some elimination stuff, you might find the answer is more simple than you thought. Like that was like me. I was drinking my green shake that had never been a problem for me. And I was like yawning like an hour afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, I'd agree. Yeah. And I was there's like, a lot of self-experimentation you can do. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, I had bubble guts and I was yawning. I was like, there's something in the shake that's not good there. Yeah. And yeah, I've just taken out the kale and the celery and now it seems fine. So I just keep the spinach in as my only green and it seems to be working.
Mm.
But actually, Paul Saladino, who was on our podcast, he was on Joe Rogan this week. I don't know if you saw.
Oh, wow.
He finally made it. He made it. Yeah, so I wonder how that'll
go. Because Joe's had the other major carnivore expert on.
Yeah.
The like really, really big doctor.
Yeah. But he's a bit more, he's a bit less scientific.
Yeah,
right?
He's way less scientific. Yeah, he's just like, I'm a beast.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds good.
That's the guy who set like the rowing record.
Yeah, like I think he has the 500 meter rowing record. And he
for his age.
Yeah, and he eats like obviously no carbs. But yeah, Paul Saladino. I think Paul Saladino, we had him on the show and I would say generally people say he's the number one science expert on the carnivore diet.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious to see. I mean, when we had him on the show, people messaging us like, I'm going to kill you for having him on. That's it. Like, I'm assuming vegans.
Yeah.
So people have like passionate opinions out there about it. But I think he's got pretty good science.
Yeah. Nah, he's pretty good. So before we... Is that the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we jump into the review of the week, which is actually a little bit different. Really short, actually. You'll probably watch it straight after this episode. Something I roped Raph into, but the... currently, you know, a while ago we were announcing something major that was coming up. That thing is still in the works.
Mm.
It's still coming. It's going to launch next year, hopefully. Hopefully no, we don't lock down again. But if you are listening to this and you are a female fitness industry participant or you are a fitness industry
professional,
your career is in the fitness industry and you're female. Please, if you are looking for a once in a lifetime opportunity, definitely shoot us a message on Instagram, the My Muscle Project, and we want to reach and contact you as many of you as possible and tell you about the opportunity and have a sit down, have a chat with some of you. So if you live in Sydney or if you live nearby and you can work in the East bubble, definitely shoot us a message. Okay, so before we get into this last thing, we're supported by True Coach. You guys know that it is the best coaching platform for individualized programming. We actually had on the founder of True Coach, and we have an episode coming out with Casey.
This Friday? Yeah.
This Friday. It's an awesome episode. It's a great story. Man, that's crazy. He worked some serious hours to get this thing off the ground, and he actually was a CrossFit gym owner. He was...
It's one of the coolest, I think, tech stories for like the kind of fitness space I've heard in a long time. Like, had a CrossFit gym... New people needed individualized program, which is what we believe in, which is why we use True Coach at the gyms.
It was an OPEX athlete.
Yeah. And then he was getting individual, he had his own little like games athlete aspirations that like most people's didn't go anywhere. So he was getting the individual programming and stuff. And then just was like, oh, there's a better way to do this.
Yeah.
And he actually, cause I was like, oh, I don't think it's that CrossFitty, but he just purposely didn't brand it CrossFitty.
Right.
Even though he was a full on CrossFit frother, had his own fucking gym, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he can froth any harder. But then he branded True Coach like to make it more general. So he wouldn't be...
Well, Fitbot started, was the original
Sorry,
name.
Fitbot. Yeah. So it wouldn't be just for CrossFitters. But he really solved like a demand in the market.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you guys haven't checked it out yet, I'm telling you, True Coach is something that will absolutely change your life, your clients' lives. Or if you're the athlete, make things so much easier for you. When I say just improves your life, it's great. I gave it to a friend of mine. He's got a shoulder injury at the moment. He's never used it before. And he was messaging me in the app. And he's like, bro, this app's amazing. Because he's in tech as well. He's like, this is so good. This is so easy. I can use it as I'm going through the session. I'm watching the videos. I'm talking to you through it. I'm like, yeah, dude, it's an awesome app. And it's only going to get better. In that episode as well, we talked to Casey about some stuff that True Coach have coming up. He's not involved anymore, but they talk about some really cool stuff that's coming up for the app. So if you guys want to jump on board, you get a free trial. If you go to truecoach.co/MMP. And you can check out that free trial. Or did they change it? Did they change it up?
That still works, but anytime, just use the discount code MMP.
Right.
And you get like pretty much the whole first month is half price.
Yeah. So go check that out, truecoach.co. And then, MMP when you check out. It's going to solve it. Okay, so our review this week actually is something a little bit different. So it's actually on Instagram. So if you guys go to Instagram and you type in NBA, you can find the...
What, just search NBA?
Yeah, well, if you just go to the NBA Instagram page and you go to their IGTV link, they actually created two mini documentaries. It's called the LeBron James Orlando Mixtape, the Anthony Davis Orlando Mixtape, and LeBron's NBA Finals Journey. So I think altogether, it's probably about 10 minutes of content. Each of them have over a million views. The third one almost has 2 million. I just think the NBA, honestly, they have the best Instagram in the world. They put out so much content. I'll tell you how many posts they put out. Okay, just have a. I mean, you've used Instagram. You know how many posts, like big companies and stuff like that. How many posts would you guess NBA has put out total?
Probably about 1,000.
Try higher.
Oh my God.
That's not... No, like lifetime posts. Right?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So, what, Instagram?
3,000?
Instagram's been around for like 7 years, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I'm thinking like, you know, post every couple of days.
Yeah. 37,000.
Oh my God.
37. Dude, they put out content nonstop. They have like I reckon their team must have like 50 people
37,000.
On it. 37,000
They're
posts.
Posting multiple times a day, every day.
And they're posting like mini document, like movie level shit, right? Anyway, so go watch that. Even if you're not a sporting fan, a huge sporting fan, the NBA, just to see, because, I mean... They're making an argument for LeBron being the greatest basketball of all time, right? Obviously, most people say Michael Jordan. But anyway, just watch it. And it's just cool how they put it all together. I mean, you watch this. It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
And they just put it out on the Instagram for free. Like, yeah. They're just doing such cool things, that sport. There's so much money behind it. But yeah, just stuff like those mini documentaries like that. It's just so cool for the fans, right? You get this collaboration. You get a little bit of history. You learn some stuff. It's really cool.
I also just think, I mean, probably more than any sport, basketball is probably the best sport for just like...
Highlights.
Like, because I guess something to do with just, you know, the close-ups, so nuts, right? Yeah. Like, when they're dunking, you're like centimeters from their mouth. Like, other sports, you don't get that. Like, football, you can barely see, like American football, you can barely see
what's going on.
Barely see who's playing.
100 people in the way.
Everyone's wearing helmets and shit. Yeah, and like, you're never that close to the player when they're scoring, right? You're like off in the distance. But it's something about basketball that is just, the highlights are nuts.
Soccer's got its moments, but they're just very few and far between. Like, you can pull out 50 highlights from one NBA quarter. You know what I mean? So anyway, go check that out. I'm going to get a 4.5 out of 5. It's awesome. I love it. Raph?
I was sick. I was probably like a 5 out of 5. For a basketball, like 3-minute thing.
On IGTV.
Yeah, it's sick. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's cool.
I mean, it's the day and age we live. Like, you almost get, unbelievably good content for free, gone, and then they're on to the next post.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool, guys. Thanks for tuning in this week. Remember, the after show is always on YouTube now. It's live on YouTube now, so you can tune in live next week. We do it, today's Monday, but we normally do it on Tuesdays. But Project Fitness is launching in a day. It's launching tomorrow. You're hearing this on a Wednesday. So
we tested out I tested out the running workout. Locke and I are going to do some of them together. Now that Locke has got his $250 running shoes, he's ready for them. Because there is some running. Like, it's an all-round fitness program.
Yeah. I'm stoked for it. And it's turned out amazing. And now, guys, you can just, you can obviously become a subscriber, you get all these bonuses, you get access to all the programs. But if you just want to do Project Fitness for 8 weeks, we're offering 8 weeks of Project Fitness in the app. You can still use it in the app. So you can do one or the other. You can subscribe or you can purchase 8 weeks.
And to give you an idea as well, like, you can, if you do strength training, you can easily put this on top.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like a fitness program where it's like, I'm committing to this. Like, this is all I have time for. It's a program designed to be like,
layered.
Layered, you know, because we're assuming if you're listening to the show, you're doing some strength training.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you just want to do conditioning workouts and have 8 weeks conditioning workouts, you can piece together with your other training over time. It's a great way to do it as well. So it's all there. So you can register your interest and you can get on the waiting list to be the first to purchase. themindmuscleproject.com/fitness, and that's where you can find it. The other programs are at /strong and /body if you're interested in those programs. And thank you to all the subscribers that are staying with us and loving the program and sending us the feedback. We can't thank you guys enough. It's been an awesome journey. We can't wait for more stuff to come out. So thank you so much, guys. Remember, if you're a female coach listening to this, send us a message and I will speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the Mind Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the Mind Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/theaftershow
And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.